In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The first three psalms are appointed to be sung every Saturday evening at Vespers, but also on the Vespers of any major feast, or at least most major feasts, I should say. There are a few where that's an exception. But that underscores how important these psalms are. Now, in our current practice, we sing select verses from these songs rather than the entire psalm. But nevertheless, these psalms are very important. And Psalm 3 tells us a lot about Christ and also how we should view the difficulties that we face, particularly when we face opposition and persecution in life. The superscription of that psalm says, a psalm of David when he fled from the presence of his son Absalom. And you should know that story from reading your Bibles regularly, as I know you all do. But just to sum it up, Absalom was David's son who rebelled against him. And before David knew it, he had to flee Jerusalem with his mighty men. So he had some army with him, but the bulk of the people had gone over to Absalom as well as the bulk of the army. And so he found himself suddenly in a very bad situation. Now, there are three levels of meaning in this psalm that we could talk about. One is how it relates to David himself and the story and what it means in that context. But it also has a meaning in relation to the life of Christ. And then, of course, it has a meaning in relation to us personally. So I'd like to focus on the second two meanings that this psalm has. O Lord, why are they multiplied that afflict me? Many rise up against me. Many say unto my soul, there is no salvation for him and his God. When did this happen in the life of Christ? This happened at the crucifixion. He had people mocking him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And if Christ, who was perfect, had many that rose up against him, it should come as no surprise that many rise up against us who are far from perfect. Some people have legitimate reasons to rise up against us sometimes because of the way that we act. But just as Christians, because people hate God, they will hate us. And if you're living like a Christian, that's a promise from God. It's not a promise many people put on their refrigerator on a magnet to remind themselves, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. But that's a promise from God. As the Lord said in the Gospels, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Now it's not easy for us to muster up rejoicing when we have many people rising up against us and hating us, but that's what the Lord is telling us to do. And why is that? Because we should be resting in the knowledge that Christ is on our side and we don't have anything to worry about. But thou, O Lord, art my helper, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy mountain. As St. Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he was preaching to the people and explaining to them the significance of not only what they were seeing in terms of the gift of the Holy Spirit coming on to the apostles, but also what it meant for Christ to have been crucified and rose from the dead, he said, ye men of Israel, hear ye these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then he goes on further to say, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended up into heaven, But he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou in my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So they had mocked him, they spat upon him, they beat him, and they crucified him. But God raised him from the dead and glorified him and exalted him to the right hand of the Father. I laid me down and slept. I woke, for the Lord will help me. This, the fathers tell us, is in reference to the burial and then the resurrection of the Lord. Christ, we should understand, was not passive in this, because even though it talks about the Father raising up Christ, it also, in several places in Scripture, talks about Christ raising himself up. So it wasn't something that was just acted upon him. In John chapter 2, the Lord said, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then in John chapter 10, he says, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. And it's not without significance that the Lord rested on the Sabbath. So this was a rest from his labors that he wrought for our salvation, and then he rose from the dead for our salvation. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against me round about. Christ was God in the flesh, and he had no need to fear his enemies, and likewise neither should we. But you might say, well, it was easy for Christ not to be afraid because he was God. He knew he was going to rise from the dead. Well, if you're a believer, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you're a believer, don't you know that you're going to rise from the dead too? And if you know that, what are you worried about? You have absolutely nothing to worry about. Psalm chapter 17 says, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper, and I shall look down upon mine enemies. We know that in the end, we win, so we don't have to worry about it. That doesn't mean that we don't have any struggles in this life, but it does mean that we shouldn't worry about the results, because the results are in God's hands. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all who without cause are mine enemies. The teeth of sinners hast thou broken. When it talks about the teeth of sinners being broken, the image there is twofold. One is of their power being broken, because there's nothing more pitiful than someone who's toothless, who can't really even eat properly. But also, we speak with our teeth, and these words that these people spoke in mockery of Christ was shown to be false when Christ triumphed and rose from the dead. And so their words fell flat. In social media, we often say, we'll go back and quote something that someone said in the past, and we'll say, that didn't age very well. Well, you can go back and read what the Pharisees said at the time of the crucifixion. You could say, that didn't age very well either. Salvation is of the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. Christ is our head, and the victory he won for us. And so we have no need to fear. It doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on our strength. If it did depend on us, we would have a lot of reason to fear. We would have a lot of reason to be concerned about the results, because I'm not sure that in my own strength that I could accomplish very much. But since salvation is of the Lord, I don't have to worry about that. I just have to trust in Christ and keep my eyes on him. As St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.